Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and I hope you all enjoy these stories. I'm not really feeling too well at the minute. I've had a bad reaction to my COVID and flu jab. I actually got them simultaneously, which probably wasn't a good idea now thinking of it. But I hope everybody's doing great and enjoys these stories. And remember, if you're struggling with your mental health and feel alone in the world, I promise you that you're not alone in the world. And you can overcome what's ever in front of you. And there's lots of people like you who understand what you're going through, so don't worry. Just keep doing what you need to do to get better, and I know you will. Take care, everyone, and enjoy these stories. One day you're on shift as a park ranger. We had something bizarre happen. We were following a trail, and every so often, we would find a doll's head. Literally just a decapitated doll's head with the hair half cut, and a scary smiley face etched on with what appeared to be a red pen. This is extremely bizarre. We've never really encountered anything like this, and they seem to be going off in a particular direction. We follow these, and we literally collect about six of them, all about 10 feet apart or so, until eventually, we find what has to be about 100 or so of them all scattered around in a big circle in the middle of the wilderness. We still to this day have no idea how they got there or what they were there for. I'm currently a park ranger and I'd like to share a weird experience that I had before. Now, during these kinds of jobs, you'll see lots of weird things that you're not necessarily sure about. But luckily, because you work with other colleagues, you can always radio in to get more support if you need it and often get to the bottom of things. Some of the other guys who I'd been working with for a while had told me about a cabin that you should never go to. Apparently, it was ancient from a hunter or somebody like that, and they lived there for a long time, kind of off the grid. And there'd been some rumors from everybody saying that it was haunted. It's something that I never really believed, to be honest. But apparently, sometimes at night, if you heard whistling, that was where it was coming from. Now, I kind of believe them a little bit, but not really. Especially because they always like to play tricks on each other and things like that. But it did put me a little bit off ever going there. I wasn't exactly sure how to get there in the first place, so I didn't really have to worry too much. And there was a couple of other old buildings dotted around, and sometimes whenever I encountered them, I would stop and stay as still as I could and try and listen. Because apparently you had to wait for 30 seconds before he would whistle at you, but it never really happened to me. So I didn't really believe it was haunted or any of that, or that I'd at least found the right one. So, there was one particular stretch of season that I was on my station. It was a really nice time in the summer, and to be honest, it was a little bit annoying because of the creatures outside. I'm talking about the bugs and things. Now, you couldn't really step foot outside without immediately getting swarmed by them, but it's something you grow used to with spray, and there's random little things you could do to try and stop them coming. So, on one of my days here, I had reports of hikers who got lost, and apparently there was two people that got lost with an old man. They were described as wearing two blue jackets, and the other person was wearing a darker color, kind of like a beige or green almost. So I headed out into their relative vicinity to try and locate them. We weren't exactly sure where they were, but there was reports off of other hikers saying that these people looked pretty confused and almost a bit worried. With this in mind, I thought that I should bring lots of water because they're probably dehydrated by now. A lot of people like to go out hiking and don't necessarily bring enough water with them. They think it's okay to leave it in their car and just go and retrieve it again later, but I can tell you that's not really a smart idea. The amount of times I find people that are really struggling with dehydration and are actually about to go into a dangerous state of it because they haven't got water with them. Especially too, a lot of people wear too many clothes when they go hiking, and they become far too hot. People aren't willing to abandon their clothes on the way, in terms of jackets and things, so they just wear it and get too hot. I mean, for myself even, one day I remembered getting far too hot. And I was basically looking for somebody in a similar situation to this, but I started jogging when I found them with my jacket on. And by the end of it, I could see weird colors where my vision started to fade. And when I stopped, I felt like I was gonna faint. So yeah, lots of water with me and not too many clothes as I set out. Now, it didn't take me long to find them, and they were both just sitting under a tree. It was a little bit odd, and I radioed in that I found them and I was gonna make sure they're okay. I waved to them and stood up, shaking the bottle, saying, "Hey, I'm here." Doing a smile and wave, but they didn't do anything back. I thought this was relatively weird, and I'm a little bit cautious now. I think maybe they're really in trouble, or maybe it's something more sinister and I slowly approach. Now, I've got to go and check if these guys are okay, but I'm actually a little bit paranoid myself. I eventually make my way over to them, and it looks like they're both in shock. It's really weird. I give them water, which luckily they accept, and I say, "Can you tell me what's happened? Are either of you injured?" And I look over them, looking for any signs of head trauma. You only have to look for simple things like cuts or bruises, but it can really be a telling sign. The problem you get is when somebody's got long hair or something and isn't bleeding and you don't know whether they're damaged. You can get an increase of intracranial pressure due to bleeding, which can be extremely dangerous because obviously the brain's contained in the skull, so the pressure doesn't have anywhere to go and it can potentially take your life. Worried that maybe one of them was hurt like this, I ask again what's wrong and they say, "Finally, thank God you're here." And they don't say much, they both stand up and start walking over to me. I stand up too and say, "Come on, let's get out of here." And we start heading back towards the station. While we're walking, I don't make too much conversation because obviously these people aren't really in a good way, and I don't want to bombard them with questions right now. But I go over some basic medical checks and they seem fine, just like they're in shock. It was only when we started getting a lot closer to the station that one of them opened up. We saw a ghost. I'm not kidding, man. We literally saw somebody who kind of looked like you. We thought he was a ranger and went to see what was wrong. And he literally just vanished in through a tree. I'm not kidding, man. We both saw it. He then pauses and starts explaining some more. Apparently, they looked all around for this guy, but there was no sign of him. They were convinced they'd seen a ghost and didn't know what to think of it. I asked them how long they'd seen him for, and they said, "I don't know, maybe like a minute or so." They then explained that some other hikers come, but they were too shocked to say anything and just sat by the tree in the shade. They said, apparently at the start, this apparition, whatever you want to call it, waved them over, smiled, then just disappeared into a tree. They said it's like nothing they've ever seen before, and neither of them have a medical history of things like this. I quickly write the report and one of my colleagues hands over, and I didn't get to know much else as I have to head back out again. But it really played on my mind. I mean, they were probably quite dehydrated, but they didn't seem to have any medical issues, which was odd. I kind of just chalked it up to probably they were just imagining it, and maybe it was just an animal that had slowly went off a tree they didn't see too well. But it was specifically a bizarre thing that I've always remembered. I never really encountered too many things like that while I was out there before, so it definitely stuck with me. But I was glad that I'd done my job, and they were completely fine. Now, worried that there was some kind of person out there that might also need help, I decided that I should probably go and have a look in the area. Based off the slim chance that somebody was actually there, I had to investigate it. There's a couple of other guys who are going to investigate things within the vicinity to them, but this was proximal to me, and I knew the exact spot, so of course I had to go there again. Now, the walk was just as pleasant as before, and I started to slam my own water, worried that I was going to become dehydrated myself. I was actually quite tired from carrying so much and the trek to these guys and back again. I didn't really understand the area they were in because they were well off of a path and they would have had to just walk idly through the trees for probably a good 20 minutes to get there, which, if you're familiar with national parks or big forests, is not really a good idea because that's how you get lost and how big search parties have to go out and people put their lives in danger to try and find them. So yeah, that didn't really add up. Now, like I said, the sun was beautiful and I was really enjoying the walk, to be honest. There was just enough light piercing through the treescape so I'd feel warm, but not too hot. Some of the bugs had actually picked up again now, which was relatively annoying, but I wasn't really too focused on them. I was just focused on what was happening up here. Now, I eventually get to the attack spot where we were before, and I realise that one of them have left a bottle behind and I pick it up. I need to return it back to them because it's their property later. And I head off in the direction that they told me that they'd seen the person. And surprise, surprise, I can't find anything. I had a good look round and I'm pretty sure I saw the big tree they were describing. And there's nothing there. I actually spent more of my time looking up, worried that some kind of animal was going to jump down and try and attack me than finding a person up there, but who knows, maybe somebody was crazy and just decided to be Spider-Man for the day, but there was no mess, I couldn't find anything. I then start my walk back, and things are quite normal. I'm looking forward to getting back, and I actually want to make a coffee because I'm quite tired now. As I'm walking, I notice something odd. It almost looks like little orbs of light floating around where I am. This is particularly bizarre. It kind of looks like when you've got an old camera pointing somewhere in the dark and it picks up all the orbs. There was quite a few of them and it looked really pretty. No, it wasn't Blossom, and it wasn't spiderwebs, but this was bizarre. There seemed to be a couple of them, then probably hundreds all around. I wiped my eyes a couple of times and tried to grab one, but I couldn't seem to. They all moved too far in front of me. As I stopped in a moment in awe about how beautiful this is, I hear a whistle sound. Thinking it's one of my friends, I actually did a whistle back. They whistle back to me one more time, and I say, "Hey, I gotta get back now. I'll catch you at the station," and start laughing to myself. I think, wow, they've almost got me with that one, and I decide that I should just pick up the pace a bit so they don't try and pull any other pranks on me. What was kind of stuck in my mind at this point is how weird it was seeing all of the orbs of light. It was really beautiful and it gave a tranquil feel to where I was walking. It was kind of like the things you'd see in old books where they say about fairies and stuff, but it was definitely odd. I start to think that maybe this was some kind of plant that I didn't know about that blossomed heavily, and I make it back to the station. I didn't mention what I had heard or seen to any of the other guys, just thinking it was one of those things, and I make the coffee, and the other couple are gone. I then see the ranger that was looking after them, and he looks at me and says, "I don't know man, there was something off about those people. You know, you hear all those rumours, but I don't believe in all of that, but they looked really scared, and they weren't exactly the kind of guys that I guess you would consider to pull any kind of games with us, you know?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "One of them was actually a medic and the other was a teacher, so we know they're pretty trustworthy people." I said, "Yeah, but come on, they were just dehydrated, right?" He looked at me in the eyes and said, "I don't know, man. Be careful out there." And that was that. So I enjoyed my coffee and I ended up going home not too long after as the shift was over. But there wasn't really too much going on in my mind. I just started talking to my then girlfriend and now wife, and I was more excited about all of the trips and things we could do together, so that quickly filled my time up. Anyway, skip to a couple of days later, and I'm back to work. And work was something that I loved, so it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. So, I'm on station once again, and we get a call in again about apparently there's a disturbance up by the cabin. Now, I didn't register in the time what one they meant because there was a number of them, but it's one I hadn't been to before, and they said to me they don't mind swinging by that way, which I had no problem doing. Now, the only thing I really didn't like about doing was going into one that had spiders and things. We get some pretty nasty ones out here, and I remember the time that one had fell onto my head, and I didn't realise for about 30 minutes until I brushed my hair and a big old spider fell on the floor with a plod. I tried kicking it but missed, and I didn't know where it went at home. But yeah, I'm pretty paranoid at the things. Also, you can get homeless people who live out there, or squatters, or God knows what, so it was never a good thing. Plus, not to mention, often they're dangerous and in risk of collapse because they're so old, and especially if there's any kind of insect that's decided to make the wood its home. So yeah, I wasn't really up for this one, to be honest with ya. So I head out with all of my things and I make sure I have a nice hat on, because if any spiders are gonna fall on me and try and attack me, I don't want them on my head. So that's what I do. Now, it was going to be about a good hour or so walk to get to this place, and again, it was a bit far off the path, so this wasn't good immediately. I ended up making it to the edge of the trail, and I start making my way in there. While I'm walking, I'm actually having issues trying to save my pants from the scrubs and things around me. There's all kinds of nettles and nasty things that are starting to get into my legs. I ended up getting stung by some plants a few times and it was really annoying, especially because this is still in the summertime, so I'm quite hot at this moment and the sweat is really not a nice feeling with the stinging of the plant. Now I get to where this place should be and I absolutely cannot find it. I re-triangulate my position multiple times and it should be exactly where I am. I should be proximal to it. I ended up putting in a few more calls to the station, and eventually they guide me in the right direction again. I ended up finding an old building, but this one was really small. It almost looked like a small kind of shed thing where you'd store things. I say, yeah, I found it, let me go check it out. And there's a weird smell coming from this thing. It starts to smell really, really bad, and I'm starting to get worried that maybe it's the worst. I do have to investigate though, so I go closer and closer. I realise that there's an old door holding this thing shut, which is to a storage area. So I grab the biggest stick I can find and try and use it like a police battering ram. This didn't work and I sat down for a minute trying to figure out how I was going to open this. I then decide just to kick it, and I give it one big kick and it comes ajar slightly. And the smell was absolutely foul and overpowering, and lots of different flies and things pour out. Now, I actually had to wait for a moment not to vomit, and I decided to go back and give it one last good kick, and it comes open, thankfully. Now, covering my nose and with my torch, I peer in, and I find an animal's remains in there, which clearly got stuck in there and couldn't get out. But it was disgusting. You could see by the fur on its body that it definitely wasn't a person, but it was too far gone to identify what it was, and I just leave it. I soon realised though that this couldn't have been the cabin that I was told to investigate. This was far too small, and it was a storage unit. Pretty grossed out, I actually took a while heaving up. I don't know how long it was, it probably a good 5 or so minutes, but luckily I didn't vomit, but my god did I feel tempted to. As I'm sitting there, I then hear a whistle. It's just like the one I heard the other day. Only this time, I'm pretty sure I recognised it as one of the friends that I worked with. I start laughing and go to do the whistle again but stop because I'm not going to put my hands in my mouth and make myself vomit because of what I've just seen. So now I'm just sitting there laughing while this whistling goes on every couple of minutes for probably 10 minutes or so before stopping. It's coming from the top right of where I am, and I decide that I might as well prank my friend back. I want to tell him that I found some kind of computer in that storage unit, and I want him to go and investigate because I can't move it. It's locked. He's pretty good with computers, and he's pretty good at breaking things open, so I know that he'll love to go and try and crack open the side of the computer case and get it out. Or just some other stuff like that. Now, of course, this was a complete lie because there's just a weird animal body there, but I just want my friend to get close and maybe push him a bit as a joke. So, yeah, I start walking over and the whistling stops. It's very clear where it was coming from before, and I know I have to walk quite a way to get there because of how quiet the whistling is. Now, I probably walked for a good 4 minutes when I can see the silhouette of something up ahead. You can just make out that it's all black with its head and shoulders, just kind of lurking around, then slowly going behind a tree. I say hey, or call out my friend's name, but I don't get a reply. I think that's odd, and I continue walking. I eventually make it up to exactly where I thought the whistling was, and I can't hear anything or my friend. Thinking that maybe he's just went off again, I decide that I should head back. I turn around to head in the direction that I come from, and suddenly I can see the cabin, one that I haven't seen before. This is it. This is the cabin I was supposed to find. That's odd. Thinking maybe my friend's already investigated it, I start to head back but realize that he probably hasn't found this too. It's kind of in some overgrown area, and it looks pretty dated, but it looks like somebody lived in there long ago. Now I have to be careful because we've had reports of activity in here, and they're even seeing a light on, but I can't see any of this at this point. Now, as I'm observing it slowly walking closer, I'm sure I can make out the silhouette of a person again in the top. I think this is pretty bizarre because it's kind of like a one-story thing with an attic above it. But I don't know why anybody would be in there. I was more convinced it was some kind of animal that was living in there that I'd just seen. But I don't know. So, I start to walk over relatively carefree at this point, convinced it's just going to be an animal, but bracing for the spiders and other things I do not want to encounter. Like I said, I really don't like these things, and I'm talking myself out of being worried by them. At this point in time, this was by far my biggest concern. Now, I get to only a few meters away, and I realize the door's broken. It's broken to the point that you don't need to use force to enter, you can actually just nudge it. I turn on my light and I see nothing. I quickly pan around, and yes, there is a big old spider. It's not far from the door, so I duck very far under it, and I manage to convince myself not to look up. You can see that there's not really a floor above or anything. It's kind of just like a very thin top, but nowhere for you to stand really. You know, if you go up there, you'll basically fall through the top, so there's no real worries about me doing that. I scan in the first room, and this place is really ancient looking, like well over 100 years old. I can't really see too much, but there's some hooks and things where I guess I used to do hunting and whatnot. Now, there is an underground area to this, but I didn't want to go in there because of the spiders, so I decide to avoid it. There's basically a hole in the corner that I could probably go down, but I'm definitely not gonna do that. I think whatever's under there can stay under there, and it's not for me to investigate. Now, I turn to head back, having thoroughly searched through most of it, when I hear a whistle again. This time it sounds like it's next to me. With a gasp, I turn the torch round and quickly do a 360, but I can't find anything. That's when I slowly look up and realize that it's coming from above me. There must be something on the roof or up there. I don't know what it is at this point, Thinking maybe it's some kind of owl or something injured up there, I decide that I should probably go and look. I quickly pan my torch around and look throughout all of the top thing. I can just about see through it because it's kind of transparent slightly, and you can see there's nothing up there. So I decide just to give this old owl one chance of rescue. I make my way up to the crawl space where you can basically go in, and there's a very small ladder here. Hoping that maybe there's some kind of light or something that I can pull on, I slowly make my way up the ladder. I put my arm through and go to pull on the light switch where I think it should hang from. That's when I feel something on my arm. I feel 2, 3, 4, 5 pressure points and something warm up my arm, and I can feel a lifting force. Almost not registering what's happened, I slowly turn my head up and I can see a human arm pulling me up. It's not like a normal human arm though. This looks like it comes from a corpse and is all battered and bruised and very black and dark looking. I let out a scream like a girl. I quickly jump down and the arm just seems to vanish back into where it come from. I grab the torch again and quickly shine the light up, thinking something's about to chase me, but I can't see anything. There's no shadow of where the body should be on the top, nothing. With that, I sprint and kick the door open, and I half fall down in the process. I start sprinting as fast as I can, and to make it even worse, a spider fell on me, which I basically punch off my body. I actually hurt myself quite a bit from the force of it with the adrenaline. I sprint and quickly glance back as I'm starting to get away from this, and I quickly look onto the roof hoping to see some kind of person up there that could explain this, but I don't see anything. I sprint and make it quite a good way into the woods. Not really entirely sure if I'm being followed or not, I decide I have to keep up a long distance running pace. This is actually really bad for my legs because I'm running off the trail at this point, and I'm really getting my legs cut up, but I don't care. Luckily, being a ranger, I'm in pretty good shape and I managed to keep up a really nice pace. What just happened? I'm actually so scared that I don't radio in anything to the team and I just try and sprint back as quick as I possibly can. I start sipping on water where I'm trying to keep myself going without stopping for as long as possible. Eventually, this created a new issue where I actually had to vomit a bit while I was jogging, but I didn't care. I quickly slip some more water to keep me going, and eventually the pace catches up with me and I have to slow down. I frantically look to my left and right, desperately trying to see if there's anything chasing me, but I can't see anything. I'm not much further from the station now, so I put my hands on my knees and try and capture my breath. Now, I can hear some of the sounds of insects around me and some landing on my skin, but I don't care. Where I was jogging, I probably looked so vascular and like a good meal to them, but I don't care. It honestly only takes me about 3 minutes to catch my breath, which really surprised me, and I start walking now, covered in sweat. I'm only about 3 minutes from the station, and I go to radio in what's happened, but I realise there's no point. I'm nearly back at the station. There's some other people outside and they kind of look at me like I'm a crazy man. Looking down at my arms, I can see why. I've gone very red from the jogging, and I quickly open the door. Some guys rushed over to me and say, "What happened? Are you okay?" And I stop them. I say, I'm fine. It's just, something weird happened when I found that cabin. I say, I'm sure somebody was up there in the attic. I heard them whistling, and when I'd gone up there, something grabbed me, and the guys started bursting out laughing. They say, "Yeah, right. Did you actually go there or not?" I say, "I told you I went up there, and I think somebody's in there, in the attic," but they say that's not possible. How could somebody be standing on paper thin top? And they completely dismiss my claims. Really frustrated, I go to the bathroom just to try and get some of the sweat off of me, and I look at myself in the mirror for a while, when one of the older rangers comes in and says, "Yep, you met him. Don't worry, son, I know they're laughing at you, but I believe you. We've been having reports of weird things happening there for absolutely years. Don't worry, you'll get used to it. Used to it, I shout at him. How could I possibly get used to that? Why don't they believe me? And they say they do. I think they're just scared of it too. Now, this was a number of years ago that it happened, and luckily I've never been requested to go back there again. And to be honest, if I did, I wouldn't go. I still have nightmares about it to this day. Every time I have to put my hand into somewhere I don't know, I'm pretty sure I have some kind of trauma where I start sweating and shaking a bit, half expecting something to grab me again. If this was some kind of animal or some kind of homeless person, I could sit with that and that's fine. But their arm literally looked like it belonged to a dead person. But the rangers were right, there's no way anybody could have been up there. I doubt this could support the weight of a small animal, let alone a fully grown human. But I'm sure that's what grabbed me. Except it wasn't. It wasn't like a living person. I don't know, I just really can't get the right words out to describe how I feel trying to recount this story to you all. It was almost like I was touched by something I shouldn't have been, and I really feel like something had stalked me out there in those woods. Nothing like it has ever happened since, and I'm not much longer from changing jobs now, but it just does not sit right with me. I hate the fact that when things like this happen, people don't always take you seriously, but they don't see the nightmares that I have because of this, and they don't understand how much it still affects me even to this day. In college, I lived on top of a mountain road, but still only 5 minutes downtown through a wooded road. There was a few hundred plus year old oaks in the yard, slab stone porch built by hand. I lived in the studio apartment that was outside of the main house. Now the main house is haunted, but my shack is cozy. The woods up there are weird too. I never really was in the main house at all, but the three who lived there said some nights you couldn't fall asleep because of the noise, like floorboards creaking, thumps, knocks, etc. My experience happened outside. Like I said, I hunted small game up there as there must have been a rabbit colony in the vicinity, plus a few squirrels. Often out there, I would get the distinct feeling that I was being stalked myself. Keep in mind, this stand of the forest is only several acres across, but was preserved mainly because of the historic oaks trees scattered around. It's old woods. Now, I would hear laughter like children's laughter, but not quite creepy like in a creepy movie. It was a bit distorted, and almost like flirty giggles that you might have heard if you imagined a fairy was there. It would come from different directions and sometimes at the same time. I eventually decided to stop following it and hunt. It never did stop. I would spend time in the afternoon in town having a drink or hanging out at a friend's place. I'd finally have enough liquid courage to hike up the trail in the dark. That laughter would be replaced by noise, just like things running around and dashing by the trees. Now, being an outdoorsman, you know the woods are noisy at night, particularly in the southern Appalachians. But this is different. It was dead silence out there in that stand at night, except for this rushing, and from an unseen feet. Like, no game could be doing this. Now, these steps were like some kind of things rushing around me. It's really weird. It would kind of cross the trail up ahead and behind me, then alongside, but I could never see anything. I was a big time night owl back then, and was regularly up doing schoolwork into 3 or 4 a.m. One such night it snowed a fresh 20 inches or so, decent accumulation for the area. Our yard and woods were like a paradise for me and my dog. I was excited to hunt around the next day for tracks and to see if I couldn't locate the rabbit den, which I hadn't previously. I was woken up and the dog came scratching to get in, not really like he's frantic or anything, but just trying to get in. It's odd though because she's a husky. I decided to call it a night too and went out for a cigarette, and it's now about 3:24 a.m. I can still see it on the top of my MacBook display before closing it. I went out and noted the clouds were dispersed a bit and the moon was bright on the snow. I lit my cigarette and just looked across the fence into the woods when something caught my eyes. It looks exactly like the silhouette of someone leaning up on an oak tree. Like, you'd see somebody with a palm planted up against a wall and arms straight leaning against it. It's not moving, so I can't tell if I'm just imagining that the light is making it move or what. So I walk further to the end of the porch, and as soon as I stepped out onto the fresh snow, it took off. Now, this thing is tall, with my estimations being that it was at least 7 foot tall. It actually runs along the border of the fence and back into the woods. It was hairless as far as I can tell and completely naked. Otherwise though, it was a form of a tall, skinny man. I decide to quickly go inside and grab my boots and rifle and flashlight and go and check the tracks. Now they have to be size 14 or 15 bare feet. It ran along the fence and onto the tree stretches into the backyard as if heading into the woods. But then the tracks just ended about 20 inches short of the wood line. I don't know if it jumped into a tree, but there was no more tracks for me to trace. It was literally as though it just vanished. So this actually happened to my boyfriend, who is from Mexico. He had many experiences that most Westerners wouldn't believe, as Mexico is an intensely paranormal place, but that's probably due to its history. Now, when he was 15, he was on his grandfather's ranch in an area. It's a remote place with only a couple of distinctly scattered neighborhoods, and his father's land was big and spread out. One night, his grandfather asked him to put out the bonfire next to the house. He put it out and went back to bed and fell asleep. A few hours later, his grandfather came back and scolded him for not putting out the fire. This happened routinely for months. One time, after he put out the fire, he saw the light from the fire through his bedroom window, and he saw a female putting some logs onto the fire. He assumed it's his aunt and went back to sleep, and the next day, the grandfather yelled at him again, so my boyfriend told him that it was just his aunt that started it again, probably just to heat up water or something. When he asked about it, his aunt said that she had not been out there at all for a fire, and she was the only female living there. What also began happening at the same time was mysterious fires. Now, my boyfriend and sometimes his friends would see a woman walking across his grandfather's property over a hill. They saw her several times over the course of a few months. My boyfriend said he couldn't figure out what she was doing there or where she come from, because they knew all the people that live close by, and in that part of Mexico, people don't just generally trespass on other people's property because it's potentially dangerous. He said she was solid and looks like a real person, with red bean jeans and blondish hair, but that when she would walk by, there wasn't any sound, like the wind stopped blowing and everything was still. One day, he was wandering around the ranch, looking for good grass to give the cows. On the far side of the ranch, up the hill, he found a patch of some pretty nice grass and started pulling it up, and ended up pulling up part of the blanket. He said the blanket looked old, but not that old, like it had been there for a couple of months, so he started to pull up the blankets and he saw two arms tied together from behind, execution style. He said there was still some meat on the arms, although the body was mostly bones by this point. He immediately could see it was a woman with red jeans and long blondish hair that he would recognize as the woman he saw walking across the ranch. They called the police detectives who investigated and said this probably happened from the 90s. Now, after they had disposed of the body correctly, he had never saw the woman walking up the hill again. This took place when I was younger. probably around 19 or 20. I'm 27 now, going on 28. I used to drive around the countryside for hours on end, sometimes up to 6 hours, and smoked cigarettes while listening to music and just daydreaming. I'd been through a lot, and it was a way for me to let off steam and digest everything that happened to me. There is part of a route that goes into the southern part of my state that actually takes you to Maryland. If I'm not mistaken, if you go all the way along, you go to Florida. It's on a road that I'm very fond of because it intersected with lots of interesting places. It could take you to cities and beaches alike, all the while somehow remaining pretty isolated and rural. On one of those day trips, I was driving through a heavily wooded area that opened up to a field lined with trees to my left. I was pretty zoned out at this point, but something on the side of the road immediately caught my attention. In fact, it seemed that time slowed so I could see this apparition with more vivid detail than any random artifact that I would ever glance at off the side of the road. What I saw was an older, balding man dressed in full Catholic priest garb. His mouth was open in what appeared to be grief, staring up through the sky with large glasses. He was standing in front of a dead deer. It was a duck, from what I recall, and there was maybe three or four. Behind the deers was a 1970s/80s Crown Vic style police car without its lights on. It had no markings on it whatsoever to identify what county it was from. No one was inside the vehicle. I don't even think it had the engine running. Now, this is pure speculation, but it almost appeared as if the vehicle had been parked there for a day or so because it was completely sedentary. The other weird thing about the vehicle is that it had no damage on the front end to show what was responsible for hitting the dead deer. Nor did it seem at all bloody or anything, or even mangled. It just didn't make sense. Now, I took a step back and, rehashing this scene as a whole, it had the appearance of being staged or set up somehow, as if all of its parts were props in a play or movie. Every part of it was so odd and so still, for the speed it was travelling at. The glance I cast on this spectacle could have only lasted for about a maximum of 3 seconds, but the moment seemed to be quadrupled, and it's an impression that really grabbed my imagination and felt like bad news, really bad news. I was gasping for air, almost crying. Have I seen a ghost? Was it a warning of a deity? Did the forces that shape time and space momentarily flex in this rural corner of Virginia, and just so happen that I was the only witness? Even passing by the same spot from this trip, I really can't think of what it could have been. I have no answers to any of my questions, only a lack of closure and its scar on my brain. I was backpacking last week in a national forest in northwest Pennsylvania with a friend of mine and also his teenage son. We hiked up the Minister Creek Trail and set up camp that night about 4 miles away from the trailhead. We only saw two other parties that day. A neighbor were overnighting on the trail. We explored the area we camped in extensively to find the best spot, and did not see any other campers within at least a mile in either direction. The rest of the forest is heavy, with growth hillsides on either side of the valley, without anywhere good to set up camp. At about 2 a.m., I was awoken by the sound of drumming. It sounded like a single drum and a rhythmic beat. If anybody is familiar with the Cleveland Indians baseball team, now known as the Guardians, they have a guy who would beat a drum in a similar fashion. It was loud and close, actually reverberating throughout the valley that we camped in. If I were to guess, I would say it sounded as if it was within 100 yards of our location. I got out of my tent to investigate, and my friend had also been woken up by the sound. We couldn't see anything other than the dark woods around us. This continued for at least 2 hours until I was able to fall back asleep. The next morning, we woke up and all is normal. We continue in on our hike and didn't see any other campers around. I still have no clue what it was. Now, my family moved from upstate New York to a small town near Bradenton, Florida. I moved with them. Their house is a wilderness neighborhood one that hasn't existed there for too long. Native Americans actually used to occupy the land, from what we've heard. My room had a massive sliding glass window with no screens and was the only one in the house that faces directly out into the woods out back. Right when we moved in, I felt uneasy about being near the window, looking into the woods or having my blinds open. A few weeks after moving in, I started having what I think are night terrors. I would wake up screaming and thinking that there was someone in my room trying to get me. I've never ever had this as a child. It was freaky and unnerving for both me and my sleeping partner. I started hearing knocking on my window at night. At first, I thought I was hearing things, but then I started getting really freaked out. I always ignored it and never went up to the window, looked outside or opened it. My partner never heard this. He was always asleep and brushed me off when I told him. I just adamantly kept my window locked from there on out. Then, I started hearing my neighbor slash friend next door knocking on my window at night, whispering my name and asking me if I'm up, and if I wanted to come out and smoke with her. I answered this by saying a sleepy no and go back to sleep. I asked her about this and she is absolutely certain she never told me this. I start feeling very alone and powerless, wondering if I'm actually losing my mind now. Now one night, I was putting a lucky protective crystal on my window for protection. Side note, don't judge me for this, and I don't know if this was happening in my head or not. I didn't know what to do for protection, but anyway, I woke up and the crystal was still in the same spot, but half broken, as though it was hit by lightning. I actually saw a black figure in my room a couple of times. Nothing ever happened. I would only see them, and they would be gone, and it was always at night when I was barely awake. I figured there were spirits in the home, so I did a couple of things that helped mitigate that, using salt, burning cedar wood, and spraying holy water on walls. Our back porch was screened in and a nice place to sit outside. I meditated a couple of times out there and heard all the wildlife and creatures outside. The noises would stop and it would just be silent sometimes, I mean like dead air. I would listen for anything and just hear nothing aside from creepy snapping branch sounds. I would run inside after that. We had bobcats, raccoons, alligators and wild boars, so I figure it's an animal. Luckily I moved back to upstate New York for personal and career reasons, so obviously nothing else happened to me there. I visited my family around Halloween time. About a year after moving, my sister and I stayed up watching Pet Sematary and started talking about the creepy stuff, and she turned to me and said, "Did I tell you that he thought he saw some kind of Slender Man in the woods?" And I immediately get freaked out and sleep horribly. I asked my dad what he saw and he said it's a very tall creature, probably 9 feet, extremely skinny, almost looking like a tree, moving abnormally fast through the woods in broad daylight. I had a few unsettling experiences in the woods, but this is unquestionably the strangest one. I've been mulling over it for a couple of years and can't really come up with a rational explanation. A few details have been changed to protect my identity, but the story is 100% true. So in 2018, my partner and I drove up to a national forest in Oregon for a day hike in early summer. The area was somewhat remote, but nothing too isolated. Hiking is huge in the Pacific Northwest. There are plenty of other people on these trails at any given time, especially during peak season. Because of this, we chose a less popular trail in the hopes of getting some alone time. It was approximately a 6 mile out and back, moderately difficult hike with a waterfall near the end. It followed a river and didn't intersect with any other trails. Simple, right? We are both experienced hikers in good physical condition, so we had no reason to think we needed anything but day packs with a couple of liters of water and sandwiches. Getting back before dark should have been a piece of cake. We set out some time after noon. At first, we took it slow and wandered around the riverbank for a few minutes. I found a cool animal bone and we mused over what it might be. It was very clearly a vertebrae from a large mammal, so we guessed it was probably a deer bone, but I'm a little morbid and I like collecting things of that nature, so it goes into my pack. That might not have anything to do with what happened next, but I feel like I should mention it since it was out of the ordinary. The hike next to the waterfall was beautiful. We passed a few other people on our way back to the trailhead, but for the most part, we had the place to ourselves. We stopped a few times to look at wildlife or take photos of flowers. I was tracking our progress on my Fitbit, so I always knew how many miles we'd travelled and how much time we had before sunset. We reached a waterfall at about 3.2 miles. We matched what the map said. I paused my watch and settled on a large boulder to rest and eat our lunch. Another young couple was there with their dog. We said hello and then minded our business. That's when things went wrong. As we packed our stuff up and prepared to leave, my partner slipped off the boulder and twisted his ankle badly. The other couple heard his surprised scream as the water splashed and they rushed over to help. The three of us hauled him back to dry land and assessed the injury. None of us are doctors, but we thought it was a sprain. The swelling had already begun and he was in serious pain. He couldn't barely stand. Upon realizing this, the male half of the couple started backing away and seemed anxious to leave. I asked him if he could go to get help, but he didn't respond, nor does his wife. They both turned around and started booking it up the trail with the dog trotting behind them. I called out to them in frustration, but they didn't look back. Needless to say, we didn't have cell service to reach that deep in the woods, so we couldn't contact anyone else. We have to hike back. "It'll be okay," I said to Michael. "It's only 3 miles, you can do it." We shifted the water bottles and our modest amount of gear into my pack so he wouldn't have to carry anything and made decent progress. Now, I was actually tracking the hike on my Fitbit. After about 2 miles, Michael ran out of the stream and we rested again. I told him to lean on me to take the weight off the injured ankle. That's even though that I'm a head shorter than him, it just seems to help. "We're almost there, just one more mile," I said. Despite the setback, we're in pretty high spirits to be honest, and the sun was still coming up and the woods were beautiful still. We actually make light out of our predicament. Michael joked that he can't do anything without getting hurt or breaking something, and I comforted him. We both actually thought that the ordeal was nearly over. Eventually, I realized we've been walking longer than expected. I assumed it only felt that way because we were moving at a slower pace, but when I checked my watch and saw that we'd gone further than a mile, I start to worry. And we're at nearly 6.6 in total. That meant the walk back to the trailhead was longer than that to the waterfall. But that can't be right. But I figured it must have been a mistake at some point. Maybe I hadn't started the tracker until we'd already travelled a ways at the beginning. Regardless, the parking lot had to be around the next curve in the trail. But it wasn't. We went another half mile or so before stopping to assess the situation. Over 7 miles total and we're still not back. What the heck? I checked the map on my Fitbit and saw that there aren't any gaps. It was a straight line from the beginning to the end, with the line doubling back on itself, indicating that we're on the same route. But where's the trailhead? We talked it over and concluded that it had to be a glitch. Michael was adamant that we hadn't passed the trailhead, and we couldn't have taken a wrong turn because there were no other trails, plus the scenery was all familiar. We saw things we remembered passing on our way to the waterfall. It was definitely the same trail, and well maintained too. Then a big wide dirt track that followed down the river eventually veers off into undergrowth. We shouldn't have been able to lose the trail. It's almost impossible. At that point, we start to feel demoralized, but what could we do except keep going? Our phones also don't have service, and Michael's in a lot of pain and struggling to put weight on the strained ankle. It was twice the size of the other ankle. He was sweating and I was sweating. The whole thing starts to feel like a nightmare. When we went another mile and still didn't reach the trailhead, we panic. Night falls quickly into the forest and we had little daylight left. We were almost out of water and had no gear or other food. We basically only have the flashlights on our phones. Of course, we cursed ourselves for not bringing the supplies, but we're only supposed to be out here for a couple of hours, so just a short hike, and we have no idea how it could have gone so wrong. Out of desperation, I yell for help. We'd seen no other people since that strange couple had abandoned us near the waterfall, but I'm sure that we had to be close enough to the parking lot. That didn't mean there was anyone there. But we both freaked out. I was willing to make a fool of myself if it meant rescue. To our dismay, nobody answered. We're alone. In an attempt to get to grip, we reasoned that maybe we had really passed the trailhead where we started. Maybe we were so focused on keeping him off of his bad foot that we'd simply missed it and were hiking towards the next trailhead. We were pretty sure that wasn't the case, but it was the only explanation that makes sense. We were definitely still on the same trail, and though we couldn't be certain, it seemed like the landscapes had changed. We were no longer recognizing any of the landmarks except for the river, and that seemed to support our theory that we've gone too far. We knew we weren't exactly walking in circles, that isn't possible, so should we turn back? We mulled over for a few more minutes. If we were wrong, backtracking now would mean that we definitely spend the night here, and it's not really an option, so we press on. I'm not crazy, I keep telling myself, asking almost. Now, the initial hike was only 3 miles, and we went 3 miles into the waterfall. Yes, my husband agreed. Now, we walked a lot further than that. We should have gotten back a long time ago, so I don't really understand what's happening. When night fell, we pick up the pace, and my partner stopped leaning on me and limped down as fast as he can. He said the adrenaline dulled the pain of his injury and gave him motivation to continue. The part of Oregon that we're in is mountain lion country, and I'd just read about a mountain lion attack a few weeks prior to our hike. Being caught out there in the dark was absolutely the last thing we wanted, but there was nothing we could do about it. We were actually quite scared, and my partner shines his light on the path ahead to make sure we didn't lose our footing, and I shone mine at the trees, scanning for cat eyes. Now, my Fitbit says we've gone 9 miles now. After 9.5, we finally saw the sign for the trailhead and scrambled towards it. Relief didn't completely wash over me though, because I expected that we'd either have to hike back to where we started or trudge alongside the road for a few more miles. There was simply no way this could be at the trailhead. It was 3 miles past where it should have been, and as we climbed to the short set of steps up to the parking lot, sweaty, thirsty, and exhausted, and completely unnerved, I then hoped to see my car. But I see my car, and we're at the same trailhead. For a moment, we stare in shock. Our fear and misery was replaced by sheer confusion, and we just stood there. Then a twig snapped somewhere in the woods behind us and broke my spell. We hurried across the parking lot towards the car, and in those few seconds, I felt an intense dread. The best way I can describe it is as though you're in a nightmare, when something is pursuing you, but you're moving in slow motion, like your legs just won't cooperate. This is the only time I've ever felt like it outside of a dream. We managed to pile into the vehicle and peel out of there, and I'm shaking. And my partner's reeling about time distortion and dehydration, and we must have lost our bearings. We got out of the national forest and onto the next highway, and it was a while before we encountered any other cars. I didn't fully relax until we made it back to civilization. Neither of us can figure out exactly what happened, and my partner was on crutches for several months after it. I still haven't been able to find out exactly what happened, and I still get chills thinking about this. Now, this is a very long story, and I'm going to try my best to write things out exactly as they happened. So I lived in Georgia, the state, in a rural town not far from a major city, And there's a set of woods that's behind our house, and it divides two neighborhoods. It's about a mile wide, if that. Strange occurrences have always happened around here, things like random trash, tarps, etc. But I should mention that it's a swampy marsh, which has woods around it, so camping in there is impossible. Now one night, I was taking our dog out. He stays in the back half of the house due to him not liking other dogs. I took him out to the side door and walked around the house to the fence. For some reason, when he left the house, he was absolutely terrified. He didn't want to go out. Very unusual for a dog who's quick to snatch someone's soul if prompted. Not thinking about it, we press on, and he went to the bathroom and we walk back. This is when I noticed it, or rather heard it, the crunching of leaves. At first I thought it was one of our dozens of cats, until I realized that it's matching me. If I walked, you could hear it walking. If I stop, it would. There's a small clearing between the woods and one of the sheds. That's when I saw it. My dog was first to see something. Then I saw, I don't know, a creature? It was taller than my shed, so probably a good 8 feet tall, and darting across the clearing at crazy speed. My dog, who isn't scared of anything, bolts so quick that I dropped his leash and he ran to the door whining. I'm quickly behind him. Once inside, I quickly bolted the door and ran to tell my girlfriend what happened. She immediately really wanted to investigate, saying it's probably a woodland creature, and armed with two flashlights, we actually go out. Now, we can't see anything but can hear it, and now something's about 20 feet away. Now, there's no eyes, not even an animal call, just rustling. And my girlfriend, now scared, heads out for the home. I decide to check in with the neighbors to see if maybe one of the dogs got out, and I call my neighbor, but he confirms that all of the dogs are accounted for. Now my neighbor's interested and comes out with his gun to investigate. We heard rustling, or maybe running, about 100 yards away in the thick swampy woods. Way too thick for a person to walk, let alone run in, and then it stops. It was dead silent. We're scanning and on edge when we hear something, but then nothing, and bam, it's 5 feet in front of us sprinting at me. It slammed the fence so hard it rocked it back and forth, and Dave shot randomly. But then there's nothing. We never saw it. Never heard it get close to us again. As I mentioned, the woods are thick. Too thick to run in, so this thing teleported silently in front of us and hit the gate. Spooked, we're about to run, then we heard it. It was human in nature, but not English. Almost like, I don't know, an alien. Not a language, really. Now Dave, a hunter for at least 40 years, still can't explain what it is. Anyway, after we heard that, we bolted, and he covered me as I ran into my home. Not 10 minutes later, we both heard a loud explosion from the woods. It actually rattles my house and knocks the power out, and I ran outside to see if it was there. But of course there's nothing. And Dave runs out and says that he's experienced the same thing. Moments later, neighbors from all around come down to our cul-de-sac and agree that they heard it from behind our house. 911 is called and police officers come out, and two of them separately interview us, and both of our stories matched. Now the police officers actually refused to go near the woods. They took a report and left. To this day, we're still not sure what the encounter was. Also, Dave doesn't go outside at night anymore. Now the next night, earlier in the day, my mother, a police officer for a town 40 miles away, installs two motion trail cameras on the wood's edge. They're brand new, keep that in mind. Now thinking that maybe we'd see something, we wait for nightfall, and later that evening, I went outside to feed our outdoor cats, and that's when I heard it again, rustling. This time not taking any chances, I ran inside and told everyone what I heard. They all piled by our back door and urged me to go out there and look. Reluctantly, I agree. I took my flashlight and walked to the edge of the woods. Knowing there was a trail cam covering this area, I figured it would be on the trail cam, and I can sacrifice this. As I got to the wood's edge, I could hear rustling. I'm shaking at this point because I could tell it was maybe less than 15 feet in front of me. Everybody was watching me from the door. And then it goes quiet, or so I thought. Just as I'm scanning with my flashlight trying desperately to see a normal woodland creature, I hear this boom, and something hits the ground just beneath my feet. It was so close that I was sure it would lunge out and brush and snag me. I dropped the flashlight and literally ran 100 yards back to the house in what felt like 2 seconds. I screamed, "Get in the house," and everybody did. They heard and felt the thud too, and our neighbour Dave called my mum-in-law to see if she heard the crash, and apparently she did, 700 yards away. Once the adrenaline died down, we decided to check the trail cams, and crazily, they stopped at 11:47 PM and the rest is corrupted, but they're both brand new, and the memory cards are. We reset everything and put them down again, but unfortunately, we haven't seen anything or heard anything like it since.